ojos para ver lo que está pasando. Put up your manos, members attempting unidos, chicanos, latinos en los Estados Unidos, don't care if you're Ricans or even cubanos. Look at our coaches, we have more common, don't let them divide, these suckers are vultures. Either we standing together or better be standing aside. Now is the time, don't know about you, but I'm gonna ride. We gotta climb, fight for your veins, man, where was your pride? Where were the gunners that you got inside? Look how our ancestors came to this country, they tried to be living the American dream. Don't throw it away, they promise you money and got your agent for the machine. Pick a new team, you flesh to lizard, but that is a system that you wanna bring. You need to think, we gotta fight communism, cause it look like we on the brink. Connect all the links, a one party system is taking the power from all of the people. We need to sing. When will you listen? These people are evil and want you to think. What's the word is your plan? Hand in hand, we're standing together because it's the one never to do what you can. Please understand, we gotta do better so walkers remember that we took a stand. Escúchame. 24 es el año, si se puede. Lucha, lucha por la libertad. Órale,
vamos. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Latino Free Minds. This is episode 69. We're back at it with another episode in the Know Your Candidate series, and today we have James Mai, who is running for city council in Irvine. James, thank you for coming on. How you doing?
Great, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. It's been pretty cool, you know, throughout this year being able to speak to candidates from different locations. You know, all of them are from California, right? So it's our goal is basically to speak to candidates so people can kind of hear from them, maybe things they wouldn't have heard from them, or, you know, a lot of people think their candidates aren't accessible, right? So this kind of goes to show that, like, hey, if you just reach out, you know, your candidates will speak to you and let you know what it is that they're, you know, their goal is, right? Pretty much. So again, thank you for coming on. As far as Irvine, we had Ron Skullsdang on. He's the one that hooked us up with you. Shout out Ron. And Irvine, when he was talking about Irvine, you know, he's obviously saying it's a beautiful city, that it's, in his mind, you know, it needs a little bit of corrections here and there, but overall, you know, a beautiful place. So from your perspective, how would you describe Irvine as far as how it is now and what does it need?
Yeah. Well, first off, guys, thanks again. This is actually the first podcast I'm doing as a candidate.
Yeah.
You guys got my first one here.
Nice. Thank you.
I actually haven't really even announced my campaign yet. I opened a committee. My website's about to go live, but I haven't really even pushed it out there. I just started my socials, but not really anything hard out there saying, hey, I'm a candidate yet. So, well, now I am. So, yeah, definitely. I appreciate you guys being the first ones. First,
you heard it here first.
Yep.
Look at this. Breaking.
Life, love it. Go ahead. Irvine is a really special place to me. I mean, I didn't grow up in Irvine. I grew up in the Midwest, and I grew up in a totally different environment. So, I used to come out here in summer times visiting family in Orange County, and we would pass through Orange County and go through Irvine. And at the time, it smelled like basically cow poop and oranges. That was all that was there. It wasn't really fully developed yet. So, but I visited Irvine and I was like, wow, this place is amazing. I said, as a kid going through here, I said, one day I'm going to live here. And, you know, I fulfilled that dream later as an adult. But yeah, Irvine is a beautiful, wonderful community. It's one of the safe, it is actually number one safest city in America. FBI statistics, over 300,000 people, and it is one of the safest cities for its size, known for beautiful parks, green education, and safety. So Irvine's a great place. There, of course, there's everywhere, especially a growing city, there could be room to improve, but overall, it's basically my personal dream to live here in California, in Orange County, and in Irvine.
Yeah. No, that's good to hear, man. And that's the thing.
It sounds like all the fundamentals are there. You just gotta find somebody to keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have the mountains close. We got the beach. It's 20 minutes away. We got pretty much all the amenities that you can imagine in the city. And it's a master plan community. It's one of the biggest master plan communities in the country. So it's very well thought out in terms of the city's layout infrastructure. It's been fully developed. It's just not people throwing things here, buildings here, houses there. It's actually planned out. And there's a lot of protected space, a lot of protected open space, which is really cool because, you know, growing up for me, I grew up in the inner city and, you know, we didn't have protected space. We had a dirt pile, you know, and a junkyard. That was it. So it's a little different here out here. And I really appreciate the city and what it has to offer for all the residents.
Yeah. I think kind of to what Christian said is, you know, I think the problem with California overall as a whole is we've had pretty much one party running the state for a long time. And I think that doesn't provide any balance, right? So we end up with, you know, a lot of these big, beautiful cities, San Francisco, you know, what I was telling you earlier, we're originally from San Jose, Los Angeles, you know, they really start to fall apart. There's no balance. So sure. It sounds like Irvine at least still has a semblance of some balance there. And like Christian said, you know, it's probably just doing, you know, people doing what they can to kind of keep it that way, because as beautiful as all those other cities are, it's like we've, in a sense, lost, you know, the like, as far as myself, the desire to even want to visit those cities. And I know those are, you know, should be main attractions for us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Los Angeles back in the day, you know, as a kid growing up, LA was the place to visit. Same with San Francisco. You want to go see the Golden Gate Bridge. And a lot of these cities, I mean, you wanted to visit. But now, I mean, I wouldn't dare take my family those cities right now because it, you know, the danger, you know, elements where it's just in a free fall. So yeah, it's pretty bad in California. I mean, I know you guys got viewers all across the nation and some people do know how bad it is, but some people don't. And it is pretty bad here. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, there's one party and everything else like that. And, you know, for me, you know, I really see it as something on an even greater scale, a greater level of dysfunction for this country. So, you know, I think that we've lost a lot. A lot of people have lost what it means to be an American, you know, what it means to have a country, the pride in our country, having pride in being an American. And that fundamental thing of having pride in something, anything, if you don't have that, I mean, if you don't have pride in something, you know, the rest of it is at risk. If you know, right. Fundamental thing. I mean, like when I grew up, you know, we had pride in the country. We had pride in our neighborhoods. We had not pride that pride. It builds a sense of community too. And when you don't have that, I mean, it could trickle down from. It doesn't have to be from a national level. It can be from a local level, and just, you know, it starts at a local level. And without that level of pride in who you are and your community and your city and your county and your state, you know, it's very tough for younger generations or anyone to really have goals and be motivated to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. So what kind of, what led you into wanting to run for city council? Like what was the moment that said, you know what, I have to step up and do this?
Well, it's pretty funny because I'm not a politician. I never ran for office. I never imagined myself running for office. I guess the whole thing that got me politically involved was based out of a deep community. I mean, my background right now is that, you know, I do a lot of community things. I have a couple nonprofits that I actually run right now. And I got pretty much activated politically probably during COVID, even more so. And this was during COVID because as someone who advocates for the community, for all communities, I mean, I advocated for people who are, you know, homeless, for people who are, you know, in need, who don't have a voice. You know, that's one of my things is when I was younger, I said, you know, if I achieve my goals and everything, I'm going to give back to the community. I'm going to go back and I'm going to give back. So that's what I do now. And, you know, it kind of led me to this path where I was like, there's something wrong in this country. And I was like, there's something totally wrong with this country. I'm doing my best to give back to my community, to my fellow people. And, but you know, there's things that are, there's obstacles that I'm facing because there's not a lot of politicians that are listening to me. You know, I'm reaching out to people and, you know, we're so divided as a country and so partisan that we can't even come together to work together for the betterment of, you know, the people and better society. So I was really disappointed with a lot of the things going on in the political world. So, I mean, I reached out to people and, you know, people didn't listen to me. And I was like, hey, you know, we're trying to do things here. You know, let's come together. And, you know, people like that. They liked that I was, you know, talking about the community and I'm doing community work. And they said, hey, you need to run for office one day. And I said, you know, I don't know about that. I got small kids. I got a 5-year-old. I got a 13-year-old. You know, I'm not going to be dragging them around, traveling, going crazy, all and stuff like this. Like, I'm not one to, you know, throw on a suit, go up there and just blah, 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 blah. You know, so I'm a grassroots guy. I mean, I take care of people. I mean, I do things for the community. And, you know, a lot of people are, oh, you do all those stuff. No one ever talks about you and stuff. I don't need them talking to me. I just do stuff because, you know, it's the kindness of my heart. And that's how I was raised. You know, I do good stuff. And, you know, and it just came to a point where people were like, you know, you need to run for office. And I was like, no, I'm not going to leave my kids. My kids are my priority. They're the young kids. I mean, my kid was like 3-year-old. You know, I'm not going to leave my kid for a political career. But what happened was that Irvine actually voted and went to districts. So the opportunity came up where I don't have to leave. And I can run for office in my local community where I'm already working. I've been doing community work with my kids and my family for, you know, as long as we've been here, over 15 years. So, you know, people are like, hey, you know, jump on in there. I mean, you're not the typical politician. You're someone who, you know, your entire career and your entire life now is focused on the community. So why not? So that's why I'm here to, you know, bring hope and, you know, lead the way locally.
No. Well, James, I think that's been the story for a lot of guys that we've, you know, had on, you know, and I think that's a good thing. You know, I think we've had enough of guys that, you know, look into these positions and see how can they profit into it, right? And it's always, we're starting to hear the calling of, hey, man, I never pictured myself of, you know, running for any type of, you know, office, but, you know, it's something bigger than me. It's something that, you know, is more calling you. Rather than, you know, you're looking for a personal gain out of it. You know, if there is anything to gain out of it, but, you know, we understand it is a sacrifice and it's not, you know, for everybody. And, you know, sometimes, you know, again, it's not for everybody, right? There are major sacrifices that you have to make in your personal life and, you know, it's right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm running for office and I'm trying to be the person I would support if I was looking for somebody to run an office to do it the right way. So, you know, it's kind of a thing for me. It's like, I know what I want and I know what the people want because people tell me. I mean, I advocate for people who, you know, come to me. We work with hundreds of families. For example, we work with hundreds of families in Orange County, feeding them. There's a lot of families that are suffering. So my nonprofit, we actually feed people, hundreds of family every month. And we actually have a food pantry going on as well. So, and, you know, we advocate for people who might have been victims of crime. They come to us. Some of them don't speak English. We get them to the right resources. So I hear all the stuff that goes on in the community and that's going on out there. So, you know, a lot of the things that when I'm in office, I'm reminded of that. So it's basically for the people, which is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. Hey, James, Danny here. I jumped in a little bit late. But as you were talking, you said that you felt like something was wrong. In the political environment, is that what you were talking about, or?
Yeah, you know, just in general. I mean, a couple of years ago, I'm sure you guys remember this. I mean, I saw our streets burning. I turned on the TV. I was like, "What is this? Is this America? This is not the America that I grew up in." And you know, the American I grew up in, and everyone respected our flag, right? Like our flag was flying. Sense of pride, a sense of belonging in this country, and it brought communities together. This united us. I mean, sense of pride in the country and a sense of pride within your neighborhood, you know, it really united us. And, you know, I would turn on TV and I'd be like, I tell my wife and I tell my friends, what is going on with this country? It's like it's getting destroyed, and people are okay with this getting destroyed. This, you know, we've lost our sense of identity as Americans. And, you know, it could be, you know, foreign influence. It could be influence from the outside. It could just be people are angry at their lives. It seemed to me that people wanted our country destroyed.
And, you know, we kind of joked around in a podcast before. I don't know. I don't think I was joking. But, you know, I was saying it almost feels like these elites or fringe, I don't know, left politicians or whatever the case may be, whatever you believe is
Ukrainians.
Yeah, there you go. Is
that they're waving that flag. Like
running like a social experiment, you know, and just toying with our lives, just turning everything upside down. Because like you said, you're watching that on TV and you're going, how is this happening in the United States?
Right. Yeah, it's just disappointing to me because my family, we came as refugees, as war refugees from the Vietnam War. My family actually was the first Vietnamese family to land in Ohio from the Vietnam War because they fought alongside Americans. They had an article in the paper saying this family escaped from the Reds being the communists, you know, during 1975. So, you know, we came to this country. I mean, my parents came to this country. I was born here in Ohio, but they came to this country with nothing on their back. Literally, you know, they had to leave their homes because it was getting bombed. They came over here with nothing. They just came over where with whatever they had in their pockets. And, you know, they made a life for themselves. And, you know, I learned, you know, the American dream. I learned the American dream from the streets. I mean, that's where I came from, you know, like, and I see other people around the world, around the country, you know, trying to get here, trying to get into this country for a reason. I mean, they're, you know, at the border, they're throwing their kids over the walls. They're trying to swim here. People are risking their lives to get here. But we see on the media, people saying, I hate America. Or saying that the American flag is imperialistic. But then you see everyone everywhere else wanting to get here for one reason. It's opportunity. I mean, there's opportunity here. You don't have this opportunity anywhere. You go to any other country in the world. You go to, you know, any other country. You're born into a, you know, you're born into a specific class. You go to a certain school. You become a certain profession. America, it's just, it's game on. You can do whatever you want in America. You can become everything, anything you want if you just believe in it. And, you know, I just was disappointed in that people don't recognize that or realize that, but everyone else in the world realizes it. And it trickles down because some of this stuff is being taught within our school. Some of this stuff is being taught to our children. And you know, I'll give you guys an example. I have a management consulting firm. I started the company 25 years ago, and I still have the company. At the time, we were hiring students from a college. I won't name the college, but we were hiring students for interns from this college. And then one day, I saw an article where the college said that one of the students felt that the American flag made them uncomfortable and it was imperialistic. And I said, are you serious? Like, that's a sign of hope for a lot of people. That's people are proud of that sign, you know, like, I'm not going to hire people from if you're, and they took down the flag from the school because they said it was making students uncomfortable. I said, are you serious? This is America. People have died for that flag. So, you know, it's just stuff like that. You know, I fight that battle also, but, you know, I think that in general, the destruction of our country isn't coming from, you know, battles or wars or things like that. It's coming from just the lack of pride and a sense of community and, you know, ownership and accountability. Those little things that make America so great, people are forgetting. And it starts everywhere. It starts from the schools. It starts from the cities. It starts from, you know, a local office, just someone, you know, who wants to be in city council because he believes in giving back and caring about the community. I mean, when people see that, you know, they're like, hey, maybe one day I can do the same thing. Maybe one day I can help somebody else. So I you know, that's one of the biggest reasons I'm running for office as well, to lead by example for people.
Yeah. And to your point, right, a lot of these people that say they don't like America, you know, you would think that don't have any pride in it. Right. You'd think they'd be the toughest on border security and stopping these people from coming to this horrible country. Right. It's like right. You would think they'd be out there stopping as many people as possible from coming here because it's horrible here, right? It just goes to show you that, you know, it's not the case. And like you said, man, this country is, you know, I was born and raised here. We have it the best as possible for any opportunity as far as that life, right? Like you said, you can, you're born here and, you know, the sky's the limit. Whatever you push yourself to do or try to accomplish, like, you can do it. And none of these fake, you know, made up victim mentality things is going to hold you back unless you allow it to. Right. And I think that's been part of the problem too with the younger generation, with, you know, we talked about it before, how kind of at schools that they're showing people, all these kids, well, all this mentality of basically not even working hard anymore, not being responsible, and everybody's a victim. So I think that's one of the things too that we need to focus on, and kind of what you said, it's at a local level, right? And that's why doing this and speaking to candidates that are local to, you know, you may not be from our city, but hey, at least people can hear from James, right? And that are in Irvine and go, you know what? You know, yeah, this guy's running. He's running in my district. You know, I didn't know. Boom. You know, you get more traction that way, and people get to hear from you, man. I think that's what's important. Instead of what you hear on maybe social media, right? When they start doing the name calling and whatnot. So yeah, I think we do have to, kind of long story short, but we have to get back to that pride and loving this country and knowing how blessed we are to actually be here.
And these guys, these protesters that, you know, failed to realize this, they've only lived in America. You know, yeah. They don't know the real harsh truth about other countries, you know, that, you know, what the abortion laws are in France and how close they are to Alabama, you know, and that we're more progressive and that, you know, and, you know, they're just, you know, the famous phrase, they're talking out their ass, you know, and that, no, everybody else can see, you know, outside of this country that, you know, we do got it pretty good out here.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of people, you know, they don't realize how lucky we are and fortunate. You know, for me in Irvine, I worked really hard to get to Irvine. I mean, when I moved to Irvine, I got on a Greyhound bus with $200, you know. I landed and I was like, I'm going to make it here, you know. And there's people that are already here, but take advantage of it. You know, they don't appreciate it. You know, anything's possible here. And especially, you know, in our community, you know, my top priority is safety. You know, I don't think we should ever normalize crime, normalize robberies, normalize, you know, people stealing things off your porch. I don't think that should be normal. That should be very normal. You know, like, we can look on Instagram and turn on the news and it's kind of normal now. Like, oh, there's a porch pirate. Oh, there's somebody breaking into a car. Oh, that happens a lot. That should not be common. That should not be a phrase that we should say. We should not say that that's okay. That's wrong. You know, like,
or understand why they do it. You know, so, you know, obviously, you know, we're up here in Northern California, right by the Bay Area. We're originally from the Bay Area. And one of the things is that they're not arresting anybody right now, like in San Francisco, Oakland, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Everybody sees that, right? But it's a game that the politicians are playing, is that, you know, if they don't arrest anybody, there are less arrests. So that means that the crime rate numbers are down, right? Because there's no arrests. And, you know, what we see, like you said, in social media says otherwise. So we've got, you know, a chart on the right hand side that tells us everything's good. You guys, what are you guys talking about? You know, and On the other hand, we have a phone with social media watching all the crime happening and going down.
Right.
So, you know, something's got to give in. That's why I was asking you is, you know, when you said something is wrong, mm-hmm. that's kind of like what I was referring to. And holistically, it sounds like it's all going down, burning together. It's not like not one thing. If you look at the news cycles right now, there's so much things going on. Just this past weekend, what happened? You know, Israel is attacking Iran. And there's just so much going on. We said 2024 was going to be crazy. and trying to distract us with all this other nonsense. But, you know, we've got a lot of important decisions to make locally. And I think that's why we started this whole podcast, you know, this series.
Because they got me really distracted right now. I'll tell you that. I'm going cross-eyed over here.
That's one of the reasons I don't even consume media anymore, because who can we trust, right?
I would rather, the media.
I would own my eyes more than anything.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, I talked to somebody, you know, a couple of days ago, and they're like, oh, crime is down in our city. I'm like, no, I mean, like, I open my door and I see it. I hear of it. I hear victims of it.
Right.
Telling me, like, hey, someone broke into my locker at the gym. Someone broke my window. Someone, you know, stole something out, from my yard. You know, but they're saying the statistics are down.
Right. Well, Gavin Newsom is pointing us in the direction to look at these charts and say, hey, look, everything's going down. But when you chop the police force, you know, things are just being underreported. You had 10 guys, 10 police officers reporting. Now you only got 2. Of course, everything's going to go down. There's not enough eyes. There's not enough bodies seeing the crime, you know, and let alone arresting these people. You know, I don't want to arrest these people, you know, get dirty, get a homeless guy, put his fingers in my mouth or something. I'm just not going to do it if I'm a cop. Why get dirty? You know, there's like no backup for me.
Like Danny said, if arrests are down, crime is going to be down because nobody's getting arrested.
That's it.
Boom.
It's crazy because I hear from law enforcement officers also. It's like, why should we even arrest people when they're not getting prosecuted?
Yeah, I mean, DAs aren't doing anything.
You know, that's one of the things that is awesome within Orange County is we have the best DA ever. I mean, they're tough on crime. I mean, they keep us protected. I mean, the whole new thing is they're putting up billboards saying don't commit crime in this county because you're going to go to jail. Don't steal. I mean, there's billboards. There now. I
mean, you mean that they're saying that they're going to suffer the consequences of committing a crime?
Isn't that crazy? It's such an extremist viewpoint.
You're gaslighting me right now.
That's a little bit too much for me. That's a little far right.
You know, it's great. That's one of the good things about Irvine is we have a great police department. And I've been in places where they were not a good police department, but Irvine is a great police department. They really focus on the education of the officers coming in. They make sure the training is on point. If there's mental health crisis, someone who's, you know, crazy and needs to talk to a crazy person, they talk to a crisis management team. And, you know, our cops are awesome. Our DA is awesome. So that's one of the things we got to remain here, or we're going to end up like Detroit or LA or some other, you know, area where no one's prosecuted for crimes and they come out and they commit more crimes. So we're really glad and we're blessed that we have, you know, police officers that are good. And then the DAs are very good as well.
I think a fair judge, you know, a fair judge is what, you know, keeps society straight, right? We don't want anybody that's letting stuff slide and
balance.
Oh man, you know, or maybe they're too scared, you know, because they don't have the backing of, you know, the people or the government or whatever it is, you know. So they definitely need the tools and the support.
Right.
So as far as like the people that you've told that you are running for because we just broke that, if you guys,
by the way, number one
breaking. You heard it here first. What kind of response have you got from those people, the ones that you've told them, you know what, I am gonna do this?
You know, very positive. People have been pushing me to run for office for a while. You know, a couple of years they've been saying you need to run for something, and I was like, where do you want me to run? And they're like, wow. I was like, well, I don't know either. So I mean, it was always, people were like, you should run, you know, because I kind of like, I still have my company, but I kind of retired to focus on philanthropy and helping others. I mean, that was my thing, you know. My thing wasn't to back off my company and go into politics. My thing was to back off to my company and do what I wanted to do, which was help people who were in my situation, who came from a bad background, who had it tough or struggling. I mean, that's kind of what I want to do personally. And, you know, the political thing just came and people were like, it makes sense for you to do it because, you know, you care about people, you care about you know, your neighbors, you care about people you don't even know you care about. So, you know, if we have a politician or somebody in office like you, it would be, it could potentially make a good difference out there. So, you know, people are very responsive to that. You know, there's people that, there's families. I mean, there's hundreds, like I said, there's hundreds of families that we help. A lot of them aren't in my district or in Irvine, but they're like, oh, how can I vote for you? I'm like, you can't, you don't live here, but you know, thank you for the support.
Spread the word, right?
Yeah, spread the word. So, you know, it's been very positive. And, you know, my family, they didn't want me to run at first. And they're like, oh, you know, you've worked so hard to get to this point. And, you know, we're doing stuff for others. Now you're going to jump into this thing and get attacked from all over, which I have been attacked all from all over anyways. So, you know, it's I got a lot of backing from people and, you know, people I don't even know. They're just like, oh yeah, we'd love to support you. We know who you are. You know, we know you from the neighborhood or stuff like that. So
yeah. From a lot of the candidates we've spoken to already is, you know, they definitely feel that positive support from the public, you know, once the public finds out that they're running. And I think, you know, Danny has said it since episode one that we're the majority. And I think right now with the candidates that are coming in, because that's what we need, right? We don't need just politicians. We need people that actually care about the people more than they care about the party they're going to represent, right? And I feel like right now we don't have a lot of that. So a lot of the people that we've interviewed and talked to, I feel like they also have the sense of, we just want to help people out, you know, because everybody's struggling in many different ways. And we're not getting that help from any, I mean, I'm not seeing it from any of our elected officials. So, you know, and again, that's on a national stage, but also at a local level, it's like, okay, then we got to pay attention to what we're doing here, because I can't be mad at Biden or Trump whenever they make a mistake. And I'm over here not paying attention to who's actually making the decision that's affecting me like more instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how does it matter that Biden can't walk up a flight of stairs, you know, here locally? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Newsom can still comb his hair, so we still got it.
Because all my foreign friends are laughing at me. They go, that's your supreme leader. That's the guy that's taking care of you guys. He can't even open a soda. I can't go to my foreign friends right now and make fun of them, make fun of a Canadian when Biden is my, you know?
That's funny. But I'm gonna ask you a question.
Sure.
So as far as Vietnamese people overall, what kind of vibe do you get from them? So as far as like Latinos, we kind of see like a shift overall into, because we're naturally, I want to say we're naturally conservative, right? The values that we have, hard work, we believe in God. You know, we're more conservative naturally. As far as the Vietnamese people, like, how are they and what is their overall kind of the sentiment you get from them or you see from the Vietnamese people?
Yeah, so I work with the Vietnamese community a lot here. We have one of the largest Vietnamese populations locally in the Orange County and Westminster, Little Saigon here. San Jose has huge, Houston has. But you know, I work with a lot of them, and I would say the older generation are more right-leaning, center-right, right-leaning, conservative. And the biggest reason for that is the war is still fresh in their minds. You know, the war ended in 1975, but, you know, the people still suffered underneath communist rule. So, you know, some of these people were teenagers when this happened and, you know, in their 20s, and they suffered. I mean, their families were put in cages, concentration camps. My family, us were executed during this war. So it still hurts your family. Yeah. Like, there's no way you're going to. So that's why they're so patriotic. And they're like, oh, well, we live in the greatest country in the world. So they're very naturally conservative because they ran from that. They escaped from that. You know, like,
they know it. They know what it looks like.
They felt it. They physically felt it and saw it. And it's ingrained in their mind now. There's no way they're going to change. So the Vietnamese community in general, the older population, it is center right, patriotic. If they're independent, but super patriotic. They love the country. The younger generation, just like any other ethnicities, Latino, Asian, Black, they just lean left. And I think it's, you know, you can lean anywhere you want, but, you know, common sense should keep you grounded. A common sense mind, things being normal should be normal, okay? Yeah. And a lot of these, I think the younger generation just don't, they don't know the stories of the suffering that the older community had to go through. So they don't know, and they're just... And that's a problem I think we have too with educating our youth, because when you have a population that's not educated, they listen to the loudest person, or they listen to whatever's on the media, and they don't know any better because the loudest person gets the most attention. And, you know, we, you know, as I call ourselves normal, common sense people, you know, a lot of us are working, you know, hustling. We're not out there with the kids, talking to the kids, and we should be. But, you know, that's something that I work on. I talk to the kids. And, you know, when, like, for an example, during this whole Asian hate thing that came up, you know, a lot of the kids, Asians, Vietnamese, were saying that, you know, this is because America did it. And I was like, what? You know, it's like, you know, a lot of them just don't know the history of America. They're not exposed to, you know, the suffering that our people had, you know, Asians. And so they just go with whatever's out there. So it's just, the youth is just, they just don't know. I mean, it's not like they're bad kids. Kids aren't bad naturally. It's just whatever's being pumped into their head. That's what it is. So
that's something that we talk a lot about in the podcast. And actually on the last episode with Luca, Nicole and Art, they focus on, you know, school boards and stuff like that, being informed with that.
Right.
Because it's near and dear to their heart. And the reason being is we actually asked them, is like, where do you think all of this starts? And they said it's when it's young, when they're young, you know, in school, kind of like to the point that you're making. So if parents, you mentioned this last time, Daniel, is that I described it, you know, when I picked up my son from school, I had to deprogram him, you know, with a bunch of questions and just talking to him. And if people don't realize that they have to deprogram their kids, you know, when they pick them up from school, you know, they're going to be influenced by whatever ideology is being pumped into their ears or their brain that day.
Well, it's, you know, what we're seeing in these colleges, right? We're seeing everybody screaming out of a blowhorn, like, spread your Marxist ideas. You know, and going back to the, you know, the whole Asian hate thing, I heard, you know, I'm from East Palo Alto, and they, you know, I think they were able to find a couple of the guys that were responsible for around like 80% of all the, you know, the hitting that was happening in the Bay Area all the way to San Francisco. And, you know, it turns out to be that it was the mayor's son, you know, and I could say allegedly or whatever it is. But I remember during the times of COVID, when everything was locked down, the mayor was out there for Black Lives Matter, screaming as loud as they can. And, you know, and this, not to pit anybody against each other, a lot of these guys, a lot of our leaders were quiet when we found out or dared to bring it up that it was the mayor's son, right? And he was the one in charge of making the shirts.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, you know, this whole thing where everything is racist is just wrong, you know, like, Irvine is, for us, we live in one of the most diverse communities in the country. I mean, like, you know, 41% Asian. I mean, we have a melting pot and it's celebrated. And, you know, there's still people saying things are racist. Things are not racist. I mean, my view on the whole entire racist thing is that racism will always exist. You cannot eliminate racism. There's, if you had five pink elephants and you had one purple one, the pink ones are going to look at the purple one weird, right? Like, there's nothing you can do about that. What you can do is you can educate and let people build a sense of, hey, understanding. I mean, that's what we need. We don't need to point that one color. We shouldn't be fighting about that. You know, this is America. I mean, it's a melting pot. There's everyone from everywhere here. I mean, it's a place where you can't find a melting pot like this anywhere else. Because if you go somewhere, if you go to Germany, if you go to Austria, you know, if you look different, they're going to throw stuff at you or whatever, you know? So, you know, it's unfortunate that people view that.
No, you know. James, and we go back to what you said a little bit earlier. We just, hey, common sense, man. Punching people in the head, bad. It's very bad. It's a sad thing. No matter who you are, no matter who's ex or who's wife, it's a bad thing. And if you can, you got to call that kind of stuff out, you know?
Put those people in jail.
Put those people in jail. Easy.
easy. It's very getting back to basics. That's what we need to do. I think that there's too much chatter. You know, there's too much partisan divide. We just need to get back to basics of being a good country, you know, helping our neighbors, loving our neighbors, being kind to one another, you know, pulling each other up. I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
And right now it just seems like everybody's waiting until it gets to that tipping edge. You know, if we were to just call, arrest these people, make an example, just make the next person not want to do that again. But no, everybody's waiting for the tipping point until somebody, like I said, makes a real example, takes matters into their own hands, and they deal with the situation, you know, which could have, should have been handled by the government or the police or whatever it may be. But, you know, when you put people against and they have to take care of their own property, they have to take care of, you know, and even those laws of somebody breaking into you is against you and is difficult to even protect your own home, you know, they're going to take matters into their own hands. And then, you know, again, tipping, then we have a whole nother, you know, polarizing event like George Floyd or, you know, whatever it is. We always wait and we never nip it in the bud, you know, wait till the tipping, till the bowl spills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate. And, you know, sometimes it does take, you know, the community, people in the community to take it into their own hands, not talking about violence or anything, but like calling it out, calling these crimes out and then fighting for your community. You know, that's one of the things that I've always done, you know, for the past, you know, 10 years. When I see crimes happening, you know, I stand up about it. I talk to everything like that, you know, like, I mean, we have to take it into our own hands. If, you know, if no one else.
I think it goes back to men, right? We're lacking men because, you know, I think one of the hardest videos I've ever seen is during those LA riots. And you see, I think they're Korean, you know, if I'm mistaken, but they all got their rifles and they're, enough is enough. Nobody's going to come and break and enter in our shops, you know, and that's, you know, I'm not talking about a revolution, but I'm talking about standing up for what you deem is necessary now.
Mm-hmm. Defending yourself.
That's... Defending yourself.
And you know, the other thing too is not falling for the manipulation. You know, I remember the conversation that we were having when the youngsters were rioting in Chicago. Remember that, Daniel? And then, you know, there was people that were denouncing, you know, what the kids were doing and stuff like that. And it's like, that's one of those times where you have to stop and realize and go root cause. You know, why is this happening? And I was like, you know what? They're right. The mayor is right. We shouldn't be blaming those kids. We should be blaming him and the way that, you know, law enforcement has been run, therefore allowing that to happen. So instead of pitting one race or, you know, a different generation against a different one, you know, we've got to go root cause. What, like you said, it's another way of saying, you know, common sense is going back to that. Right. And, you know, I have my opinions about, you know, why that is happening and why they are allowing it to happen. And it kind of goes back to that social experiment that I've been talking about, because this isn't normal. What's happening is not normal. So we need level, cool, grounded heads like you to go out there and run. And thank you for doing what you're doing and kind of get that common sense back into, you know, those offices in there. It's like, goodness gracious, someone needs to be disciplined or something. I don't know what the heck.
Be regular.
Yeah. Well, yes. Right. Like this, what we have right now isn't normal, right? How long have we had civility where you can wave at somebody walking down the street and not be worried that they're going to rob you for everything or take, you know, or take your family or, you know, burn your house down? Not very long, you know, in this, you know, the couple of hundred years that we have, right? So it just feels like we're on the verge of losing that. And people don't understand how the dark times or the medieval times really were, you know, of life expectancy or, you know, of getting looted and stuff like that. And I think, you know, again, it's that tipping part, right? We're about to lose civility. And I think it's something worth fighting for. And I think people like you, James, people that are getting called out to, you know, that get the feeling. Not that, you know, what can I gain out of this? You know, I'm already a philanthropist. I already got my other businesses, but how can I get the real connection? How can I get myself up that ladder, right? Into the White House somehow, or, you know, whatever, you know, House of Cards teaches us, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I just want a normal place for my kids to grow up.
Amen, brother.
I got a 5-year-old and a teenager, and I don't want them to grow up in a hellhole. You know, like, I always say this, as parents, you know, if we have parents, we want the best for our kids. We want the kids to have better than we had. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want my kid to go into somewhere that I can look back and say, oh, it used to be like this, but now you're going, sorry, yours sucks. You know, like, it should be the opposite way. It should be like, oh man, you're living a better life than me. You're living in a better community than me. You're living in a better country than me. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fundamental thing, is just building for the future. I mean, you know, a lot of us we're not going to be here in 30, 40 years. I mean, I got maybe like 30, 40 years max, you know, like I'm 46 now, you know, like if I make 80, 90, maybe, easy. I don't know. But so, I mean, we have to leave something behind, and it, you know, we should be leaving something good behind, you know, like we should leave something that's promising, that's positive. And, you know, I think that starts at the local level. I mean, that's the whole reason why I'm running, because, you know, I want to make an impact on people's lives. You know, I don't want to, I mean, higher office is great. People say, hey, you know, you should do that. But, you know, I want to touch and tangible feel of my impact now. I can say all this stuff like, oh, I want to save the country, which obviously I would love to say I want to save the country, but I can't touch that right now. I can feel my neighbor's pain. I can feel them happy. And so that's why I'm running. You know, it's not because I have a desire for some grand plan or anything, or money or fame or all that, you know, like, that mm-hmm. stuff's easy. That stuff's gone, like I said, in 30, 40 years anyway.
Yeah.
It's so crazy, because right now a lot of our politicians are feeling Ukraine. They're feeling it real hard over there, you know, and that's, you know, that's where our support's going.
Yeah. Now, I think we're coming up on running out of time, because I think you have the speech you got to go give. But if there's one more message you would give to the people of Irvine, as far as like, all right, I'm James. This is why I'm running. This is why you should vote for me. Like, what would you tell the people of Irvine?
Well, you know, I would tell the people of Irvine, hey, you know, vote for me. I'm a person who has been in your neighborhood. I know the streets. I know the district well. I know the city well. You know, I have the best interest in you, your family, and the city at heart. I mean, there's, like we spoke on here, there's no other reason for me to be running except to make a difference in the lives of people out there. I mean, I make a difference. I actively try to make a difference in people's lives now. My wife and I, we run a nonprofit. You know, we do that already. But, you know, I want to take it down to the city level as well, because there is room for improvement, and there's also room to make sure that, you know, things are normal and safe in Irvine. You know, one of the things is we're a master plan community. We're a young city. I mean, we were incorporated in 71. So that gives you an idea of how young of a city we are. So we're going through growing pains as well. You know, we have to recognize the tradition of Irvine, what makes it unique. And it's a growing city. We have 300, and I think it's 310,000 people in our city alone right now, and it keeps growing and growing. So, you know, we need the right leadership that's in place, that understands, especially who's gone through a lot of obstacles to be here. You know, I'm a business strategist. That's my career. It's a business strategist. I know what it takes to get to the next level, and doing it the right way, where the ship doesn't burn as well. So. Vote for me if you're in your district. If you're in Irvine, I'm in Central Irvine. If you know anybody in Irvine, spread the word. And if not, just let everybody in Irvine know that, hey, you know what? I'm here. I'm not going to leave. This is it's been the American dream for me, and it's been the California dream, and it's been the Irvine dream for me. So I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here for a while.
Irvine, stand up. Heed the call. James is calling. You know what our last business guy did for the country? Get it. Get it.
Now, man, but I appreciate you coming on and, you know, being able to speak with you about, you know, why you're running and kind of what got you to the place you're in now. And hopefully as we get closer to the election, we can have you on again, and then we can kind of talk about the reception you've gotten from the people of the district, right, that will hopefully be voting for you. So
yeah, I appreciate that. My website's going live this week, jamesmy.com. Very easy. Just my name.
That's good. I'll share that with when we post the episode. I'll make sure it's linked on there also. So, you know, again, thank you for coming on, and good luck with that speech, you know.
All right.
Thanks, James. Good luck.
Thanks, James. Cool. It's a cool dude. Man. Yeah, Irvine's got, I mean, Ron was good. You know, if they get him for mayor, and then if they get James for city council, I mean, I think those are two good people to you know, have in your government representing you at a local level. So, you know, people that actually live there and know what the struggle is like. So that was pretty cool. How you guys been? How's everything?
Good. Christian was missing in action or what? No?
Shit, no. Mom made it. Didn't hear.
I saw the bat signal go out. Did you answer?
I think he was eating a taco. I think we got him like with the.
Well, hell yeah. My fucking screws. I was like, fuck.
No, man. But, yeah. Oh, I text you guys. I got the cards now. So next time we do a live event, everybody, we're going to be prepared. They came out pretty good. So, QR code and everything. So I'll give you some, that way you could leave some right there at Denise's office or Shoemaker's office. You know, that way people can kind of.
What does the QR code take them to?
It takes them to it's called the link tree. So it'll basically list all our links for like wherever we are. So Instagram, Rumble, X, Spotify, Apple. So wherever they can find our podcast, YouTube, it'll show them all those links, and they can easily just click on that and, you know, follow whichever platform they prefer, basically. So makes it easier to find us, basically. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool way to use, what do you call it? I guess technology, right? QR codes. So you can get a lot with the QR code.
Let's get a QR code on our forehead.
You tell me you guys don't got, they didn't put a vaccine passport on your back, your tramp stamp? They put a QR code on my back right here.
You got one, let me see.
The doctor doesn't tell you, hey, Ben, I'm just going to scan your QR code real quick.
Nah, dude.
I guess I'm the only one.
In the Bay Area.
You guys must not have COVID. You guys must have Blue Shield or something.
Nah, dude, that happens only in EPA, dude.
Yeah, that sounds like a Bay Area thing.
The hood would let me that. Yeah, no. It's a Kaiser thing. I mean.
Oh, man. But now I did do that video on the Ukrainian thing. You know, I think that it's like these people are selling this out anyways, right? So it's like that part's not, well, it is upsetting, but it's like, dude, like, waving the Ukrainian flag all celebratory in the House of Congress. Like, to me, that was more also like made it more annoying, right? It's already an annoyance that we're all spending money on other people's borders. But
rephrase that. You're spending our money.
Yes. Yep. So, and
that's like a different sides of pissed off. It's like, mm-hmm. Taking our money, it's like taxation without representation. It's like protecting another border. It's like a layer on top of another layer. It's like a 7-layer cake, dude.
Or lasagna. It gets me upset because you know who else needs a good box of 5.56? Your boy. I take a good little box, you know. And let me find out those fucking Ukrainians are getting green tips over there.
Yeah, for real. Mm-hmm. I have, like I said, I felt like I had to like say something. I wanted to cuss a little bit here and there, but so I was like,
call somebody gay.
Keep it classy, bro.
I'll keep it short and PG.
That was classy. Look, that was perfect. That's
to the point.
Tight butthole.
Yeah, it's full.
Tight.
Oh man, but Nami, we'll see what happens. Oh man, let me look at the calendar because.
No, but actually, that is a good point, Christian. Is that so? They're trying to take our Second Amendment away here, right? But they're arming other people. I've heard citizens too over there.
Yeah, like give them weapons because there's the tyranny and all that, and it's like, all right, you don't see the similarities and why we might want to hold on to those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just in case Mexico gets any wide, bright ideas.
Well, it's not Mexico that we have to worry about. It's our own government.
They can't be all... Oh, yeah. Well, I saw that movie...
Civil War?
Civil War.
All right, give us your... All right. What is it about? What happened? I was trying to look for it. I couldn't find it. Where'd you go?
It's more about getting like a picture for a headline.
Mm.
It's kind of at the end of the Civil War and like, you know, the journalist. But I don't know. It's weird because I don't know. They paint the journalist in the movie right away kind of like they're like the aristocrats, you know, they're kind of still above, you know, the people suffering. You know, they can get real close into like the terrorist attacks. They can get real close with the army while they're, you know, doing raids and stuff. But like there's people suffering. There's people dying, you know, in between all that. And they're kind of like the let them eat cake. You know, they're just like, oh, but, you know, they kind of explain themselves. You know, we got to be cold and let you guys make your own decision. It was more like that type of movie. It didn't really tell you why they were in Civil War. It didn't tell you, you know, how the teams are drawn but I guess there are a couple factions, like communists and Maoists, and it's weird, but nothing.
Did they lose?
Huh?
Did they lose?
I don't know who I was rooting for, you know? So it's
that
like,
sounds like a sorry movie. You don't know what was going on in the movie.
I'm not trying to say it. I thought. Well, the coolest.
You thought you were gonna see Civil War like a John Wick movie.
No, well, the coolest part for me in that whole movie was the part I'm gonna guess that they're trying to depict a racist guy, and I thought that was the coolest guy in the movie. But I mean, make your own decision.
The one from the commercial.
Jesse Plemons or something like that. That fool, he's just a good actor, so I might be a little biased. Not the racism at all. It's just he's a good actor.
Yeah. No, man.
I don't know if I'm going to watch that movie based on that.
Yeah. It's more about the journalist, dude, and like, yeah, it's not really nothing about the lore. You don't know anything. They do go down, though. They get at each other. They shoot each other. It's pretty tight. Pretty tight.
So if you want to go see it, that's Christian's review.
Sure, dude. The only thing that threw me off is, you know, everybody, all the military people, they got little earmuffs and everything. Makes sense. The journalists don't, dude. And every time it takes a while to get used to, you know, that bah, bah. And they were just eating it up. Three journalists, like nothing. So,
cool. Well,
go watch it. Jesse Plemons, he's a beast.
Shit, we'll get him on. Eh.
Ah!
Well, I mean, that's all I got for today. I think our next guest is May 14th. We got Melinda from Luca coming on. So that's the next guest we have in the lineup. So yeah, we'll see. Trying to get some other people. The lady we met at Denise's event, I think the one that was talking about health,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. We're gonna get her some dates so she could come on.
Nice. Yeah, she's so. A holistic healer.
Yeah.
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 So
very interesting. I was just talking to some guy. He was a guest at work, and his son was having some asthma issues and stuff like that. And, you know, my son had asthma issues, and I was telling him about how we just cleaned up his diet, and he started getting a lot better to the point where he didn't even have to take medicine. His mind was freaking blown. He's like, "Are you serious?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Yeah, just check it out for yourself, man." Hey, that, and we go back to that one thing is that you just start a simple little conversation, mm-hmm. and it starts unfolding. You know, yeah. You start, you know, creating little dominoes that are being knocked over.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Danny. I hate to disagree. All you guys really need is a QR code tramp stamp on the back that your doctor checks, and you get your vaccine, you'll be all right. You don't got to worry about Eastern medicine. You don't got to get any roots or none of that. Just get yourself a vaccine, get your booster, get your extra booster, get your third and fourth and sixth booster. You guys will be all right. It comes with the tramp stamp free.
Nice. The thing is that you have to live in the Bay if you want that.
So we'll have that lady on, I guess. But, I mean, you know, I'm working on Fauci, so we'll see who comes in. You know, I got, you know, we'll see.
Fauci's going to go give you an
example. Yeah, dude. All right, then, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in. And let's see. What do we say here? Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.